Greetings. Welcome to Champions Oncology third quarter fiscal year 2019 earnings call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone today should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the conference over to Ronnie Marsh. Mr. Marsh, you may now begin.
Good afternoon. I am Ronnie Morris, CEO of Champions Oncology. Joining me today is David Miller, our Chief Financial Officer. Thank you for joining us for our quarterly earnings call. Before we begin, I will remind you that we'll be making forward-looking statements during today's call and that actual results could differ materially from what is described in those statements. Additional information on factors that could cause results to differ is available in our Forms 10-Q and Form 10-K. A reconciliation of non-GAAP financial measures that may be discussed during the call to GAAP financial measures is available in the earnings release. Our financial results for the third fiscal quarter reflect the continued revenue growth and strong demand for our services. We recorded our third consecutive quarter of revenue in excess of $6 million and another quarter of year-over-year revenue growth in excess of 20%. As we head toward the end of fiscal 2019, we reiterate our guidance of at least 20% revenue growth for the year. Now I will turn to specific highlights. Our bookings for the quarter continued their upward trend as we continue to see strong demand for our services from new and existing customers. Within our core line of products, customers continue to seek innovative study designs, expanding the use of our platform. This demand, coupled with our bookings growth, is setting the stage for continued incremental revenue as we head into next fiscal year. As discussed on prior calls, in addition to our existing services, we've been developing new services to add to our product line. I'm pleased to announce we launched two new products in the quarter, our ex vivo platform and clinical flow cytometry services. These products represent a significant achievement for Champions as they demonstrate our power to both leverage our tumor bank and our relationships with pharma to expand our capabilities. Our ex vivo product focuses on large early screening studies, ideally leading to further PDX preclinical studies, while our flow services create an entry into the clinical space. We are excited by the early interest in both of our offerings. As a reminder, clinical flow will typically have a longer conversion cycle from bookings to revenue than our traditional PDX offerings. Accordingly, we do not expect any meaningful contribution to revenue from these offerings until the second half of next fiscal year. At the same time, we are incurring expenses as we ramp up our sales capabilities and lab operations, including securing additional lab space, which we completed this quarter, to support these new opportunities. The additional space provides room for service expansion without limiting the capacity of our core PDX business. Over the coming quarters, as we focus on selling these offerings and building our pipeline, we will share some additional details. Although we had a successful quarter, the rapid growth in bookings has caused some speed bumps along the way. We've had some study execution challenges, which caused models to be delayed, leading to an inability to recognize the revenue in the current quarter. That, along with the expense of having to repeat some studies, has led to a quarter where our revenue was slightly lighter than expected and our expenses were higher than expected. Without getting into the operational specifics, we constantly are enhancing our operational processes to allow us to continue to absorb our increased bookings and growth. To summarize our results and position, our strategic priorities and financial guidance are on the course outlined for the year. We have a growing business that, despite occasional quarter-to-quarter fluctuations, is set up for improving financial results in the future. We are excited about our two new product launches, and we're confident that we're tackling the operational challenges that often accompany aggressive growth and expansion. Now let me turn the call over to David Miller for the highlights of our financial results.
Thanks, Ronnie. Our full results on Form 10-Q will be filed with the SEC later today. We had another good quarter for revenue, recording $6.4 million for the third quarter of fiscal 2019, an increase of 26% compared to $5.1 million in the same period last year. Excluding stock-based comp and depreciation, we recorded our third consecutive profitable quarter on an operating basis, earning $91,000 versus $184,000 in the year-ago period, and bringing our total net income through January 31st to $1.3 million. Our total costs and operating expenses have increased by $1.6 million, or 32%, compared to $5.1 million in the year-ago period. Excluding stock-based compensation and depreciation, our total costs and operating expenses were $6.3 million, compared with $4.9 million in the year-ago period, an increase of $1.4 million, or 29%. The increase in total expenses is mostly due to an approximate $1 million increase in the cost of sales. This increase was driven by a combination of factors. Our revenue has increased and our bookings remain strong. As we incur costs in advance of future revenues, the rising cost of sales is an expected result. In addition, as Ronnie mentioned, we have experienced some study execution challenges which negatively impacted results on two fronts. The delays in completing some of our studies during the quarter led to lower than expected revenue recognized, while at the same time, correcting those issues led to incurring some unanticipated costs in the period. Our sales and marketing expenses increased $200,000, or 33%, over the year-ago period, which is mainly the result of commissions paid on exceeding sales quotas. As a result, our sales and marketing expenses are generally higher in the latter half of the year and is an indicator of new business generated. On a GAAP basis, we reported a third quarter loss from operations of $370,000, compared with a loss of $66,000 in the same period last year. Now turning to cash. Net cash generated from operating activities was $1.2 million for the 3 months ended January 31st, 2019, compared to net cash generated from operations of $400,000 for the same period last year. At the end of the quarter, we had approximately $3.3 million of cash, continuing our trend of strengthening our cash position and balance sheet. We expect this to continue even as we invest for future growth. In summary, while we encountered some short-term challenges this period, we delivered another quarter of revenue growth in excess of 20%, we achieved operational profitability, and our accelerated bookings and a strong pipeline of new business opportunities are setting us up for continued future success. We remain on track to deliver full-year revenue growth in line with guidance and in excess of 20% for fiscal 2019, and we're confident in the underlying long-term strength of the business. I would now like to open the call for your questions.
Thank you. To ask a question today, please press star 1 from your telephone keypad, and a confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Thank you. First question will be coming from the line of Matt Hewitt with Craig-Hallum. Please proceed with your question.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the questions.
Hi, Matt.
First up, regarding the speed bumps, as you noted them, is there any way to quantify what the impact on those studies was, both from a revenue and maybe from a margin perspective?
Yeah, so we think that had everything gone as expected, as we had expected, we probably were looking at another $600,000 of revenue that would have been recognized in this quarter, and probably on the expense side somewhere in the $400,000 range of expenses that we felt we incurred because of having to redo some studies and other examples like that.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you. And then looking at, I guess, a couple different items. First, I think earlier this year you had set a target of maybe 100 to 150 tumors to be added to your tumor bank this year. Maybe an update on where you sit with that target?
Yeah, so I think as we had talked about earlier in the year, we're looking more for unique tumors, not so much the number, but we're looking for cohorts of very unique tumors. We're actively adding to our bank as we speak with a lot of different collaborations. So we are on track to be adding the tumors that we had talked about. I think probably more than 100 to the bank this year, but I think we're certainly on track for what we've been looking for.
Great. And then as far as the new offerings, ex vivo and flow cytometry, maybe if you could give us a little bit more color on the traction, the interest that you're seeing from your install base of customers, any details there?
Yeah, so two separately. I'll take the ex vivo platform first. I think we're seeing a lot of excitement from the pharmaceutical companies for our ex vivo platform. They've always asked us for a platform earlier on in their drug development pipeline when they're just evaluating compounds where they can do a larger screen against many, many models. So that's been we're finding a lot of interest in that. Just so we're clear, in the ex vivo platform, it's not like a light switch where one day we have one, the next day we don't. We have rolled out the first installments of our ex vivo platform, and we continue to do research and development on a more expanded platform. So as we continue to grow over the next year, I would say we're going to continue to expand this platform, and we have a development plan to roll out multiple aspects of the ex vivo platform. But at least with the initial part that we've rolled out, we are seeing a lot of interest, and we've already had bookings, this past quarter, which is going to turn into revenue this coming quarter, and we're seeing more bookings this quarter that'll turn into revenue next quarter. So that's actually a offering that is currently, there's a lot of interest for it, and we're currently seeing bookings and going to be seeing revenue very, very shortly. In terms of the flow site, the clinical flow cytometry, again, that's something that we currently do preclinically, but it's something that we've identified and some of our pharma partners have identified as something that they would like to see us offer. It's taken almost a year to set up the capabilities to be able to do this, and we've also seen interest. Again, that is a much longer sales cycle. It's also a much longer cycle to revenue. But on the other side, the contracts are much larger. But again, we as we said before, because we're in clinical space and we're going to be doing samples on patients in a clinical trial, we follow the clinical trial. So if a clinical trial takes 36 months, then we recognize the revenue over the course of that trial.
Oh, that's really helpful. Thank you. Maybe one more for me and I'll hop back in the queue. As far as gross margins, I realize that sometimes there's some timing and then you get the speed bump this quarter. Will that bounce back in Q4, or how should we be thinking about gross margin next quarter, or this quarter, I guess it is?
Do you want to take that, David, or do you want me to?
Sure. I mean, the best way to answer the question is simply, if we we had some delays, and we're certainly going to expect that revenue to either come in Q4 or Q1, but to determine exactly when will we see that margin switch, so will I anticipate that we'll see a small improvement in Q4? Sure. And more revenue that actually hits us in Q4 that we had anticipated in Q3, so you'll even see a greater increase. But to get that exact percentage will be difficult because we're still figuring out the exact timing of when we'll recognize some of this revenue.
Understood. All right. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Paul Knight with Janney Montgomery Scott. Please proceed with your questions.
Hi. Can you talk to the customer profile on the ex vivo and the flow cyto side that you're talking to? Is it preclinical? Is it academic? Is it pharma? Can you talk a little bit about that? Thanks.
On the ex vivo side, it's really all of the pharma, the biotech, and it's primarily on the preclinical side. So it's anyone from the large pharma, mid pharma, small biotech that want to assess a signal in a compound, want to do more screening studies before they move into in vivo, which is more expensive and do actual modeling. With regard to the clinical flow cytometry, that's a later stage company that's already doing clinical trials. So that's usually a pharma company at that point, and they have plans to do a trial. So that would be in the clinical space.
And then the follow-up to that would be, would you expect that these projects to be larger than your traditional PDX project size? And I guess part of that question would be, are these studies on the flow side linked to the large increase we're seeing in the world, in the world of immuno-oncology trials?
I think it's linked. So first of all, to answer your first question, I would say the clinical flow cytometry contracts are in the order of the millions of dollars. Whereas the regular, our average, let's say PDX study would be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the ex vivo studies somewhere about half where the PDX study was. So those are the differences in terms of order of magnitude of the different studies. In terms of your second question, which is what was your second question again, Paul? I'm sorry.
Is this interest in the flow cytometry part of your offering, is this linked to the surge in immuno-oncology work, or what category is it if it's not immuno-oncology?
I think it's both for companies doing immuno-oncology as well as other endpoints where they need flow cytometry for. So I think it's a combination of both. I think it's just an increase. We're seeing an increased type of demand for that and all of our other services. I don't know if it's necessarily specific to immuno-oncology. I think it's specific to the fact that oncology, there's a lot of investment in oncology, obviously. Oncology continues to, get a lion's share of the R&D budgets. And there's a lot of R&D when it comes to oncology, both immuno-oncology and other oncology. So I think it's all of the different R&D initiatives that need both preclinical and clinical work being done.
Okay. And lastly, sorry for the length, and specifically, are they looking for biomarkers or safety? What are they trying to obtain on the flow side?
What they're looking for is just an expression or a marker for a patient on a trial. They're looking for an endpoint to understand what's happening to the patient who's on the trial.
Gotcha. Perfect. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Bob Wasserman with Dawson James. Please proceed with your question.
Hey, thanks, Ronnie. David, congratulations on the good quarter. Just one question, and I don't really want to focus too much on the current quarter, but maybe you could step back a little bit and give us some color on how some of your JV and your partnerships with Puma and AstraZeneca, how those are progressing, and whether you see some additional partnerships being signed in the future.
Yeah, so we have ongoing studies with some of the large pharmaceutical companies. Those were primarily, one of them that you mentioned was a clinical trial where we still have some outstanding. I would say the way we think of our partnerships going forward is less around a specific study. I think the way we think about partnerships going forward is just doing more and more work with a pharmaceutical company on a broader basis. So working with pharmaceutical companies earlier in the pipeline, preclinically with our ex vivo platform, working with cell lines, syngeneics, moving on to PDX, moving on to preclinical flow, and moving on to clinical flow, doing more of a broad-based partnership with some of the large pharmaceutical companies. And that's kind of what we're seeing. We're seeing more and more of the pharmaceuticals companies that we're working with using us for more things. And that's kind of the way we view partnerships going forward, not on a study basis that we're going to go into a project with them, but more on a basis where we're looking to have more of a strategic partnership.
Okay. Well, thanks. And congratulations again.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Mike Arnold with Pareto Ventures. Please go ahead with your question.
Hey, guys. Nice quarter. I wanted to just go back and talk about the speed bump for a quick second. The way I understood it was there's about $600,000 in missed revenue in the quarter, which should be coming in the next couple quarters, and an additional $400,000 in expenses. So your GAAP earnings should have been $1 million higher. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's what we would have expected before the quarter, correct?
Okay. Good. And then I want to zero in on your cash balance for a quick second. I noticed in your latest 10Q that you did not renew a $1.5 million credit line, and that you also have $25 or $26 million open job requisitions on your careers page. I'm just curious, you know, you have $3.3 million of cash in your balance sheet. What gives you the confidence to cancel that credit line, also to hire all these people?
So I would answer it in 2 points. The first is that we canceled the credit line because we can see our pipeline pretty far in advance. We can see what's going to book this quarter. We have a pretty good insight in what's going to book next quarter. And we see the trends in terms of the new product that we're offering, and we see the excitement from the marketplace. So we felt pretty comfortable that we've passed the period where we felt that there was a risk of actually losing money from an operational perspective. And we felt like we didn't need the credit line and the cost associated with the credit line, because if we actually did need to raise money, there's certainly money that we could raise, and we've also shied away from that as well. So we felt like we were out of the danger zone. We saw it was coming down the pike, and we felt like we could easily manage with our current cash balance plus our increasing cash balance as we go along. In terms of the open positions, we have certainly grown. We've expanded. We do have open positions, but those are not open positions that we're looking to fill tomorrow. We're looking for good people. We're constantly looking for good people, and as we continue to grow, we're gonna expand our teams. But I wouldn't say that we're looking for 30 new people tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, and just to that point, I've noticed that a lot of those new hires, according to LinkedIn, have come from Crown Biosciences, which is one of your larger competitors. I'm just curious, you know, why are people coming to choose to work for Champions?
That's a great question. So we've certainly had a lot of people come to try to work for us from our competitors, not only Crown, but some other competitors as well. I think it speaks to the culture of Champions. I think it speaks to our strategy of the last couple of years being a high-quality, kind of a data-driven company that really provides excellence in terms of both the quality of work and the customer relationship. And I think that from when I've interviewed these people, that they've felt like perhaps some of the organizations where they came from didn't necessarily have what they were looking for, and they wanted to join Champion. So I think from our perspective, it was a good thing that a bunch of our people who were competing against us just wanted to come on our side. You know, we're very happy to have them.
Okay, good. And then I'm just curious, going back to cash a little bit, there's obviously some warrants in the capital structure. When do they expire, and how much capital will it bring on the balance sheet, and what's the plan around those warrants in the near future?
You want to take it?
So there are a couple of tranches. The next, so we're not going to go through each one. The next tranche expires in January of 2020. Obviously, right now the warrants are in the money. We expect them to remain in the money, and we'll put that cash on the balance sheet.
Okay, so that's one avenue you guys have to raise money if you need to.
Yeah.
Okay. And then lastly, just in terms of the IR strategy, you guys, you know, obviously have a lot of innovative stuff going on at the company, and I haven't seen an official press release from the company since December. I'm just curious you know, what the IR strategy is going forward to communicate to shareholders on a maybe more frequent basis about, you know, some of your successes along the way.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I'll be honest with you. I think that we kind of have successes every day just in terms of the growth of the company. I don't feel like we've felt like we want to just come out with press releases like a bunch of either our competitors or everyone else. It's probably something that we should do. So I think we can do a better job doing that. But it's not, you know, it isn't like we're holding back a big contract or big news. A lot of the big contracts that we sign or a lot of the big deals that we have going on, we can't really announce anyways. But I think it's a good point, and I think it's something that we can do a better job at.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Clay Hoffman. Clay Hoffman, LLC. Please go ahead with your question.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Congratulations on your quarter. Have y'all put out a number for your bookings and the increase in bookings you've seen over the last quarter?
I'm sorry, Clay. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, have y'all you're talking about how your bookings have increased. Have you put a dollar value on the bookings and the percent increase that you've seen for the last quarter?
So we have not historically given a dollar amount of bookings or really talked about the percentages. What we have mentioned is that our bookings continue to increase, and we continue to have increase quarter over quarter, but we have never historically given a number, nor did we give one on this call as well.
Okay. And one other thing, this is more of a long-term question. The partnerships you have with Puma and others, way down the road, if you have some FDA approvals on some drugs, would you be getting a royalty percentage on those?
So we don't currently have any existing royalty agreements in place for any of the drugs. It's something we have thought about. It's something we're approached about whether we would do a reduced fee for service in exchange for some type of royalty or milestone payment. You know, it's something we certainly would think about in the future, to partner with some pharma or biotech. In general, it's the early biotech that the cash is very sensitive to that would be interested in that. It isn't so much the big tier A's that are really interested in that type of model. But it's a tricky type of proposition and something that I think we'd be open to at some point in the future, but we haven't done it historically.
Okay. That's more than fair. And one last question. You had a GAAP loss this quarter, but you're saying you generated $1.2 million in cash from operations. And obviously you had depreciation, some other non-cash. But could you give a little more color on that, where the generation of cash came from?
Sure. You can take that, David.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, you basically hit a couple of those points that we certainly had. Stock-based comp and depreciation, which contribute to the GAAP loss. And overall, just as our operations, as our income improves, you'll see more cash generated. There are definitely timing differences in the operational accounts, so accounts receivable, et cetera. So there are times where it takes a little bit longer to collect, but then we do collect on those receivables, and that's what hit this quarter. But there's certainly a replenishment of those receivables at the same time. So it's really just the ordinary course of business, improving operations, improving net income, and then just turning over of our operating account.
Right.
All
right. And I also believe there was a component in there of some exercise of the warrants. Is that not correct, David?
Yeah, that is. But that's in the investing, the finance section. But I think it's referring to specifically the operations.
Operating. Okay. Fine. Okay.
All right. Thank you again. Congratulations, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you. At this time, I'll turn the floor back to management for closing remarks.
Thank you very much for joining our call. We are excited about the future, and stay tuned. We'll have a lot more news for everybody in the coming quarters. Appreciate you taking your time.